My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
2-1 Panthers! A dream 30 years in the making, yeah, is a reality! Whoa. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup!
Lord Stanley is coming home!
You don't win a Stanley Cup, you share it.
Connor McDavid is the sixth player to win the Conn Smythe on a losing team.
You know, obviously, I guess an honor that the name's on that trophy, but... Yeah.
Mike Danger.
And it just reminded me of how special hockey can be.
Gene Battaglia.
I think that the Sabres need to get tougher. That's what they need. They need a little grit to this team. That's what I'm curious to see them do here coming up in a little bit.
He's Italian, Gino.
Phillies route the Tigers 8-1, executing the first 1-3-5 triple play since 1929.
Subway Series.
Yo,
JJ!
JJ!
What's good?
It was good, baby!
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a f***. Like, honestly.
Caitlin Clark won her second straight Honda Cup for Outstanding Woman in College Athletics.
Tennessee held off Texas A&M 6-5 to take the best of three College Baseball World Series finale.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I don't know if we're prepared for Casey Mittelstedt to hoist the cup this time next year. I mean, it would sting... Even more. I mean, we should be numb to it at this point, but I felt like as I was watching last night and knowing how many Sabres fans I have in my feed and kind of scrolling along on X at the same time, it's like, man, this is tough. This is really, really tough to watch yet another team loaded with former Sabres get to the ultimate goal in the NHL. We saw it with Jack last year. We certainly saw with Ryan O'Reilly a year after he left the Sabres organization. And now with the Florida Panthers winning, you've got not just Reinhart, not just Montour. You've got the guy that was your friggin' captain at the start of the season winning his first cup in what is likely to be his final game as a pro.
Which, we're talking about that, like what the decision to put in Opozo there as he had not been in. But part of that was it was on home ice. Like, I think if Game 7 was up in Edmonton, that warm and fuzzy story of, like, you wouldn't want a potential mismatch of Kyle Opozo going up against the McDavid line. But there was Reinhart, game-winning goal. Evan Rodriguez never thought he would be leading the Stanley Cup final in goals scored, and that was the case. So, Montour had a... There was one play. Do you remember that one play? He jumps right in. He's in the slot. I'm like, oh, he's going to bury this, and he missed. So I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, oh, if they don't win this game, we're going to be talking about that play. But I look at that game, Danger, and this is why, okay? Why don't you keep your best players on the ice? Look, it was thrilling. That third period was thrilling. And as you heard in the update from Knobloch, the head coach, yeah, they had chances. But the last 5 minutes, Edmonton had zero. Nada. And the fact that you couldn't even pull your goaltender until a minute remaining and get first passes. The fact that Florida, all they did was take it to the corner and kill the remaining time. It was kind of, for as great a game that was, I was expecting one last rush there at the end. It was just because you can't keep your best line on the ice 16 out of 20 minutes.
Hey, there was something that was said also in all of the celebration afterwards, and I was trying to rack my brain as if to whether or not this has ever happened before. Have you ever heard a championship-winning coach wish another team the same success that you're achieving at that very moment? This was Paul Maurice, head coach of the Florida Panthers, after they won the cup last night.
I was just lucky. You know what? It was. So if I could have one thing more, it'd be for the Winnipeg Jets to win the next Stanley Cup.
I mean, you're basically saying, I don't want to win the Stanley Cup next year. I want the Winnipeg Jets to win the Stanley Cup next year. If you're Paul Maurice, is that what you really want?
Yeah, I had not heard that clip, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to give credit to Edmonton. But you remember the way he left Winnipeg? He retired. And, okay, that's it. And then he gets coaxed out of retirement to coach these guys. That's interesting.
I thought it was a very fascinating thing for him to say, and I was trying to think, has any coach ever been that vulnerable, ever shared that? Like, the closest thing I could come to it is, let's say Bill Belichick just won his first Super Bowl, and he's being asked, you know, and my wish would be that the Cleveland Browns will someday win a Super Bowl, but as soon as next year. Like, you just wouldn't hear that. Yeah,
okay, I'm going to give you an analogy here. And did you ever get to see the Four Falls of Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So at the end of the Four Falls of Buffalo, it's like, okay, they've been to the four Super Bowls, and what happens next? And they go to Don Beebe. And Don Beebe wins the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. And did he have a big role in that game? No. But what happens is Don Beebe is right behind Brett Favre as Favre is doing the final kneel down. And Favre does the kneel down. And then turns around and hands him the ball. And BB in the Four Falls of Buffalo talks about, should be the greatest moment of his life. He's worked so hard. He is a Super Bowl champion. This is everything. And he says he feels tremendous guilt.
Yeah.
Because he won it, and the guys he went to battle with all those years are not going to experience. So maybe in a way for Paul Maurice, he feels like he didn't get the job done in Winnipeg.
Do you think that guys like Kyle Opozo feel tremendous guilt? Do you think guys like Sam Reinhart or Evan Rodriguez, do you think they feel tremendous guilt for Buffalo? I don't think they feel any guilt at all about leaving.
They all want it out.
They all want it out. And I can't wait to talk to Paul Hamilton just to get his perspective on this. Look, everybody talks about Kyle Opozo, and he was great, and he was all class. And yes, he was all class. I wouldn't say he was a great player. He did a lot of things the right way, but I think there was a lot to be desired in terms of him as the team's captain, in terms of stoking the fire of a locker room of guys who didn't appear to have each other's backs. And you heard him talk about leaving Buffalo a little bit last night.
What an experience. What a moment with these guys. You know, I kind of took a leap of faith 3.5 months ago, and this is what it was for right here. Like, I wanted a chance to win, and these guys, I mean, they're just an incredible bunch, and we did everything to win. We did it the hard way. We did it our way, and I'm so proud of all these guys.
He's the third guy. Was he the third guy to get the cup? I think he was the third guy to get the cup.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, it meant a lot for them to have him there to be able to say, hey, you've paid your dues. You did your time. But that's what it feels like, right? Like, it shouldn't be, like, Buffalo shouldn't be Hockey Siberia. It shouldn't be where you go to do your time before you're, it's not the minor leagues. Like, that's what's even more frustrating about this. And he was a part of this organization, a big part of this drought. And I can't help but think that through that drought era with Kyle Opozo on this roster, that Kyle Opozo couldn't have done more or been more to this
team.
Can
we just say, this is not revisionist history. He wasn't a good captain in Buffalo. He wasn't. For him to say, hey, there were some things in November that I noticed, and why didn't you say that back in November? You can't. There was one game, Danger, where it was Columbus. Was a 9-10? I forget. It was a ridiculous game. And Opozo's the only guy in the, when we say the locker room, it's not really the locker room. It's kind of the staging area where they come out. Well, compare that to a game with Philadelphia where they allowed 8-9 goals, and John Tortorella had everybody go out and answer questions, and even the guys that weren't even dressed that night, like, hey, you own this. If you're Kyle Pozo, you are dragging everybody out there. You're not the one taking the bullet for the team. You're bringing other guys and holding them accountable. That by just going out there yourself, that's not holding anybody accountable.
I just think to myself, there are so many instances through the course of the season, and this hasn't been just exclusive to this season, with the Sabres specifically, where on the ice, you see a team getting bullied. You see a hit, and you don't see any real reaction from the teammates. And I put that on the captain. I put that on the guy who sets a tone and doesn't put up with it and goes after the guy or isn't afraid to match physicality. And I know he's a classy guy, and everybody says what a great guy. He's a great guy. Yes, there's no taking. Great guy, maybe not the best captain for the Buffalo Sabres while he was with the Buffalo Sabres, and part of the reason why the Sabres drought continues. He gets his last night. One of my buddies is like, if I'm the Buffalo Sabres, everything I can, I'm throwing everything to get Sam Reinhart to come back. I'm like, well, no. I feel like that train has left the station already. I don't think that's ever happening.
Like, for five guys, two of them that were former Amherst to hoist the cup, it sounds ridiculous, Danger. We've been through worse, okay? For Ryan O'Reilly to say, I lost my love of the game, and then, hey, I'm a champion. But to waste the better part of a decade for the tank and for the promise of not Jack Eichel, the promise for Connor McDavid, but then you get your consolation prize of Jack Eichel, and to see him last year, so last night, as compared to those other two, I would put that third on the pain list here.
Florida fans
suck.
May be the most fraudulent in all of sport.
Yeah, let's go back here, okay, for Florida fans, because it sounds ridiculous that a professional team at the highest level was doing minor league crap. When LeBron James joined the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers were offering season tickets for $6 a seat. $6 a seat! Why? In honor of LeBron. Okay. Well, that didn't work, Danger. 2 years later, show a valid ID and you get two free tickets to a game. I'm not making this stuff up. Wyshynski lays this out in his piece. This is a... All those people that are down there are front runners with a capital F. That was an arena that was dead empty. So, yay Florida Panthers, yay Miami.
Specifically last night, and look, Alanis Morissette, near and dear to my heart still to this day. Who doesn't love Alanis Morissette? She's out there looking like, yeah, I'm still here. Why don't y'all F around and find out about me? And I know a lot of people were like, well, you bring the Canadian singer to come down. And I'm like, no, dual citizen.
She's been a dual citizen
for 20 years.
She hasn't lost anything off the fastball.
No, Alanis is, she's the goods. But to hear just how divided that arena was, if you're a Panthers season ticket holder and you sold your seats to game 7 to an Oilers fan who probably paid whatever it was that you paid, you probably made your next year's season ticket payment on just that one ticket, right? Like, you probably made enough money to cover your season tickets for the following year.
But what is the point?
That's
though?
A deal with the devil.
Well, that is. Like, what is the point to that? If there was one game in your lifetime that you would want to be at, it would be game 7.
Yeah.
Like, God forbid we ever have Leafs, Sabres, game 7, Eastern Conference Final.
Well, I want to believe that would never happen in Buffalo.
No, it would.
But that's where I was going to go, because we see it with so many home games. We see it. And I can't tell a Sabres season ticket holder how to manage their money. They're going to do with it and with their season tickets what they wish. You have that ability to do that unless the team tells you can't do it, which in some instances they put their restrictions on you or whatever it is. But I think to myself, if it was... Let's say it was Buffalo and Vancouver or Buffalo and Winnipeg in a Stanley Cup final. A team from north of the border, Edmonton, Calgary, insert Western Conference Canadian team here, that they would offer so much money just to be in that arena because it means so much more to them than it does to us. And that was what was kind of like eye-opening to me about last night's game. It's a sadness because I love hockey.
It's a sport I grew up on. It's a sport I played. It's I love it. And 95% of America couldn't care less that last night happened. It was a fantastic game.
Well, from my experience, when I'm telling you, okay, it was where I was last night, it was as packed as any Buffalo Bills game. Like, people were so into that game, sound up. So sports fans in our area, I think we're dialed in to game 7. And even if you're a casual hockey fan, you were dialed in. So I'm going to be curious to see how the TV ratings, and I'm sure they'll be up, and I'm sure Disney is going to say, yeah, look at us here. And that's great. That is great for the sport.
Yeah, it's on a Monday night. Of course the ratings are going to be great. It's a Monday night. Well, there's nothing else happening.
I wish we were on Sunday night, the money night there. Like, if you, like, Monday night's one thing. Sunday night football is the best. Like, if you put that game on 4 o'clock on a Sunday or 7 o'clock when more kids could watch it.
The other part of this fan base that has me upset today. I mean, there's a tradition in the NHL, and I know you're happy your team just won the cup, but it doesn't matter. When Bettman is out there, you boo. You shower him with boos. Nary a boo to be heard as Bettman handed out the cup.
They booed when they announced McDavid.
Yeah.
Which, okay, like, you're upset that Barkov didn't get the
contract. Bobrovsky.
Yeah, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Like, no. It was clear. Like, if there was ever going to be a player from a losing team who deserved the MVP, it was Connor McDavid. Period. End of story. Any hockey person. And you won. What are you bitter for? Just clap. Hey, good job. You got the consolation prize.
I want Gary Bettman to be booed in every public setting that he's in. Unmerciful. If you're a hockey fan, I think that that's become commonplace standard. And that's why I stand by my case that I don't know that Florida Panther fan is real hockey fan.
No.
You boo that man.
It was sad last night, and that's kind of my tradition, Danger. I like watching the final minutes there, and then not to have Gary Bettman, honestly, like...
Oh, hey, I have it right
here.
Oh,
you have.
30 years ago, Wayne Huizenga had a vision to bring NHL hockey to South Florida.
Is there a boo there?
Vinny
is
that a little and Teresa bit. Viola has made it their mission to build an incredible fan base and to bring the Stanley Cup to South Florida.
Yeah.
To Vinny and Teresa, I say mission accomplished.
That's not how it goes. There was a smattering, a faint boo that maybe you have Oiler fans in the background. That didn't come from Florida fan. No way. No chance. Yeah, that
has been the... We don't count the bubble here. There wasn't any fans there. But, like, that was the lamest since we started doing this. Like, every fan base, whether you win or lose, it's much better when your team loses and then you're going to...
Yeah, you're angry.
You're angry.
Yeah. Nashville was obviously the one that we... Everybody's playing for second place until somebody can outperform Nashville.
Nashville, you have been awesome. Music City is clearly a hockey city. How about congratulating your Predators and the Penguins on a great Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, that's some good anger right there.
Yeah, I'm actually concerned about Bettman because it looks like he has a tremor now. He's always had that kind of the shaking of the head. I'm just wondering if his health is okay.
I think he's fine. I think he just gets into it when he's on that platform and he's over enunciating and he's very emphatic with what he's saying and how he's saying it. So I think all of that kind of goes into it.
Can we get a new commissioner of hockey, though? It's time. It's been since the early 90s this guy has been there.
Be careful what you wish for. Where are we at with Paul? Are we?
Paul is running just a little late here. So
can I share something that I wanted to share yesterday when we weren't on the air, or I wasn't on the air with you, Gino?
Yeah.
From over the weekend, because when it happened on Sunday, as I was out of town, we're at a sports show, and I'm hanging with my buddy Tony, and Scheffler wins again, And, you know, they do the whole thing, and here comes the perfect wife, and here comes the perfect baby.
Oh, can we back it up? This was after, like, the protesters, and yay, we talked about that.
I don't know anything about what happened there. There were people protesting, right?
Oh, yeah,
They got on the golf course.
On the golf course, and, like, Jim Nantz, like, had no idea, because he's calling it off a monitor, so it was all pretty awkward, but go ahead.
It just underscores, Scheffler winning again, just underscores the complaint that I've been having about where the PGA Tour is right now, and he's amazing, and his performance in Hartford was solid. The truth remains that the PGA Tour is, at this moment, just not as rich with high-end talent as it has been in the past, and there's just too many great players on tour that aren't playing good. There are two or four of the most talented players in the world that are playing on LIV. And you got like 15 or so others who are very good. Watching Scheffler do what he's doing, just it's not exciting to me. And I'm sorry if that offends you. It's boring. And as long as the competition on tour remains mediocre, the product will continue to suffer. Merge these two tours together finally so we can have the best players all playing together 15 times a year.
Well, what's the holdup? That's the question. We heard from Brian Colesi and others like, hey, expect an announcement.
You know what the announcement was? Tiger's got a lifetime exemption. Oh, okay, great. Well, why is that an announcement? That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's a given. Where's the announcement that these two tours are going to merge and we could see the competition ratchet up a little bit here? I'm not saying every weekend because that's impossible, but give me 15. Give me 15 events.
Well, in our lifetime, has there been anything like this where, whether that's a team sport, an individual sport like golf, where you look at the champion and be like, you know what, that doesn't compare to other things, because Scheffler's going to end up with this record and it's going to have an asterisk. And maybe it's not fair to him. Maybe he is that good, but we'll never know. Like, I'm trying to come up with comparables. Like, maybe the NBA, when you had the ABA and Dr. J was over in the ABA and you had some good teams then. Maybe the three-year window where you had the USFL, where Kelly and Steve Young. I'm trying to think, is there any other comparable to this? Because the sport of golf right now, just not very good because of that reason.
It's like they took a step backward and they need to take another step forward. And if they can make that happen, I think things will improve. And I also think you'll have, you know, look, it was an exciting finish. She went to a playoff. All of that is good, but it's like, If it's just Scheffler and somebody, I'm like, ugh, I'm just bored by it. It's not, I know people, you weren't saying this about Tiger when he was dominant. Like, it was different then. Tiger was playing against Ernie Els and Phil Mickelson, like some of the greatest golfers that have ever played the game. And you're just getting kind of like guys that are just okay, that are inconsistent, but just okay. I know that Sean McDermott did some speaking.
Yeah, so Sean McDermott, now we haven't had anything for the Buffalo Bills, which is good, right? It's the downtime. But he did go on Eric Wood's podcast. So McDermott doesn't do a lot of this, which that's good too. Like, Sean McDermott is a guy that is not going to go on national shows. He's not going to be on PTI. He's not going to. But he does have a relationship with Eric Wood. Eric Wood was one of his players. Eric Wood is part of the Buffalo Bills radio network. Eric Wood does a podcast. McDermott going on the podcast, and there was one thing that kind of jumped out to me here at Danger. McDermott extolling the positives of pass rusher Von Miller, saying never to count a veteran like him out, which that's absolutely true. And look, is the topic of a Von Miller bounce back year even in play? Von Miller comeback player of the year? Is that even worth discussing? Because I don't get the sense there's an appetite for it. Probably not at this point. But let me tell you something. There's going to come a day at training camp out at Fisher where maybe he's just on the sidelines. And that's going to get people thinking, you know what? This could. It's also this too. Miller is here. Why is Miller here? Is it because he could be the... No, he's here because he agreed to take a pay cut. Uh-huh. Period. End of story. If he said, nah, I'm good, he would have been shown the door before Steph did.
Yeah, he is here because as it stands right now, he's still a value to this team. Is the production going to match what they're paying him this year? Maybe, but he's so incentivized. He's incentivized through the roof. So it really is going to be on his performance in terms of how much he's actually worth to the Bills financially
this upcoming season.
Yeah, for his brand danger, if he can be a guy that helps lead Buffalo to a place they've never been and walk off like that. It's funny because we want to talk about a team of character and people dump on Diggs. And I'll listen to maybe Diggs has a different sort of way of doing business. But there's nothing ever that's been connected to Steph Diggs that's been connected to things connected to Von Miller.
You're right. Von Miller has a few off-field incidents that make you go, Yeah, I never heard anything like that from Steph Diggs. You're right. But he gets a pass. He's a pass rusher. He gets a pass because he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
Or did he get a pass? Like if Vim Miller says, hey, no, do the Bills decide to eat it on Von Miller and his Diggs is still a Buffalo Bill?
That would be interesting to think about as well. Yeah, that's a good if. What if with the Buffalo Bills? Non-sports take, but kind of a sports take, Gino. I've been thinking about it a lot. And I'm done with the seventh inning stretch. I'm kind of over it. I think it can go away now. Can you imagine a time in your life where you sat still as a spectator at a sporting event for so long that you needed a reminder to get up and move? I mean, this is something that feels like it should have gone the way of the dodo in our attention deficit society. Give us a seventh inning moment of zen. Give us a seventh inning meditation. Seventh inning becomes a time where you get all focused on something other than our phones for a few minutes. No need to get up. We've possibly been up from our seats, walking from beer vendor to hot dog vendor to bathroom. Meditate. Or have the Haktua girl on for a three-minute loop for everyone to enjoy. Whatever it is, seventh inning stretch needs to go. We've devolved to the point where it isn't needed anymore. And I know that we can, you know, use that time to honor our military, honor our veterans. We can do that at any point of the game. Seventh inning stretch, yeah, I'd be okay if we said goodbye to the seventh inning meditation. Seventh inning moment of zen. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I think my take offended Gene so much that he left the studio. So we will take a break. We'll take a break. Oh, I'm sorry. Could it be that baseball writer is trying to call into the show? I wish I could answer the phone, but it's on the other side over there. We'll come back with more, including Paul Hamilton, WGR, joining us next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, the Fan, Rochester.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rochester. The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
The hockey season is over. The Florida Panthers Stanley Cup champion, Sergei Bobrovsky, is all smiles.
Yeah, just one moment at a time. That's it. It was an unbelievable energy. The fans give us a fuel. So it was so quick, you know, the intensity, the emotions. It was tight, and it was so much fun.
The Hockey Hall of Fame class announced Pavel Datsyuk, Jeremy Roenick are in. Once again, former Sabre Alex Mogilny did not make it. We will talk to Paul Hamilton, WGR, next, as there's a big draft coming up for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll talk to Paul. He joins us next. Josiah Gray was an All-Star last year with the Washington Nationals. Tonight, he starts with the Rochester Red Wings. He's down on rehab as the Wings begin a series at home against Indianapolis. Citi Field tonight, the site for the renewal of the Subway Series. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
We wanted to win so badly that in games 4-6, we were pressing and pressing and not cheating to offense, but not playing the defense first game that is our DNA. And I think getting a 7, it took that pressure off of us. We don't like it easy. We've never liked it easy. We did it the hard way. You know, 2-1 game, we've always talked about winning every game 2-1. 2-1 filth, and it was a perfect outcome.
There's Evan Rodriguez after winning the Stanley Cup with the Florida Panthers last night. So Paul Hamilton, WGR, joins us now in the sports bar. What's a more evergreen topic for us this time of year, Paul? Former Sabres hoisting the cup or Mogilny not making it into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my bad. Sorry, Paul.
We got cut off there. More evergreen topic for you.
Yeah, the thing about the Sabres stuff, that doesn't bother me one way or the other. I don't pay attention to you know, who Sabres wins what cup or whatever. Mogilny not being in the Hall of Fame, that's different. You know, whether it's, you know, I've heard that it's, well, they're afraid he won't show up. So what? Yeah, that kind of sucks if he doesn't show up. I get that. But that's, to me, no reason not to have him in the Hall of Fame because he might not show up to the ceremony. I don't think that's a good enough reason. I don't buy that.
Well, have we become immune to this, Paul? Because, I mean, it is noteworthy that there were 5 former Buffalo Sabres that you don't have to go back that far. But in comparison to Ryan O'Reilly or maybe Jack Eichel more recently, like, are we just becoming numb to the fact that, you know, for whatever reason, that players leave the Buffalo organization and they find success?
Yeah, as I said, that doesn't really register on my radar. I don't care. Great for them. You know, I like just watching this series. I didn't care who won. I just enjoyed the hockey, you know, enjoyed the ride of, you know, one team wins 3, then the next team wins 3. I didn't care who was in the uniforms, other than maybe Kyle Okposo, just because he's a good human being. And, you know, I thought here's a guy that does maybe deserve a Stanley Cup, but that was more of a, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this guy's a good guy, and it'd be great if he could win a cup. But just the fact that Sabres win cups or whatever, and, you know, it's not necessarily true that they all leave and play better, too. That's not true either. I mean, O'Reilly, if you look at it, he finally had the season in St. Louis that I thought he should have been having every year when he was with Colorado and when he was with Buffalo. And never did. In Buffalo, I always said he was an underachiever, even though he put up pretty good numbers. They weren't awful, but for him, I didn't think they were good enough. And then he goes and does it with St. Louis, but that's only 2 years. Now he's back to Buffalo numbers again. And, you know, somehow or another, he just keeps wearing out his welcome wherever he goes. And so, you know, I know it seems to people that guys just leave and do better. But I think Jack Eichel was a great hockey player in Buffalo, and he's a great hockey player in Vegas. He doesn't play better. He just plays like Jack Eichel is supposed to play. And I mean, I never had a problem with the way Jack Eichel played hockey in Buffalo. I thought he was a superstar here, and he was a superstar there. So, again, he didn't play better. He just wound up on a team that won a Stanley Cup.
So, Paul, if you're watching Game 7 last night and you're enjoying it the way we're all enjoying it, and now you look back at it, do you have any second guesses for Chris Knobloch and the way he kind of coached and managed through that Game 7 with his roster?
No, because they had times where they were doing well. Florida had times where they were doing well. It went back and forth because, you know, Florida started well. They get that Florida-type goal, you know, hard checking, get to the net, tip the puck in. You know, that's the Florida type of goal. And then Bobrovsky lets in another breakaway, the fifth in a row. And I'm sitting there, and I text Dan Dunleavy because we actually did the Sabres show today together. I don't know where you guys were. Last time Dan and I were together, you guys were there. But you didn't come with us this time. I texted him and said, you got to have a save there. You just have to have a save. And they didn't get a save there, but after that, now Edmonton takes over, but Edmonton was helping Bobrovsky out, shooting at his glove. You know, that helped him feel the puck a little bit. Now he can say to himself, well, I stopped 8 or 9 shots here. I'm starting to feel pretty good. You know, yeah, I had those bad games, and I probably could have helped my team by making a big save on the breakaway, but hey, I'm feeling pretty good now. And that didn't help the Edmonton Oilers that Bobrovsky, you know, he showed up when he absolutely had to. I mean, when his team needed him the most, he showed up. When Sam Reinhart's team needed him the most, he had not had a good final at all. Really was invisible a lot of the time. But as he had been all season long, he led them in game-winning goals. I think he led the NHL in game-winning goals, if I'm not mistaken. You know, when his team needed him the most, he scores the game-winning goal. Sure, Skinner would want it back, but it's also a 50-goal scorer shooting the puck. And, you know, that's what you need is when your team needs you the most. Yeah, maybe some places during the series it didn't go well, but when they needed him, it went well for them.
Paul, I heard you prior to last night's game, you know, bring up the topic that, wait a second, why is Florida, maybe Florida is out of gas here. Could the same have been said for Edmonton? Because, yes, they had all these flurries, but they just didn't cash in. And when you're coupling that, I don't care who you are, like 16 minutes in any period, that's a lot for Connor McDavid. Did Edmonton just simply run out of gas?
They could have. If you talk about a mistake their coach made, I know at the end of the game you want McDavid and Draisaitl and that group out there as much as you possibly can. But it got to a point where they were just dragging in that last minute and a half. They couldn't move. Yeah, they're special hockey players. But if they're to the point that you played them so much there and they hadn't been off the ice for a rest, you did have other guys that did score for you. Yarnmark scored in that game and had done well. And it was time. You had to get those guys off the ice for a little bit and give them a blow. But because, yeah, McDavid and Draisaitl are great maybe at 80%. By that time, though, they were probably at 40%. And they're no good to you then. And that's where I think maybe the coach made a mistake by leaving those guys out there, even though they could hardly move. And the desperation that Florida showed before that, because Edmonton, and that was the thing too, those guys really put the pedal to the metal and put all sorts of pressure on before they got down to that last minute and a half. And I loved how Florida was just, they did anything to win the hockey game. They'd go down and maybe a puck would just nick a skate and go wide. Montour was there on Hyman in front of that. It looked like Hyman was all set to score the game-tying goal. Open net, puck's coming to him. And at the last possible second, a desperate Montour gets back, lifts his stick, and they don't score there. I just loved the desperation Florida had, even though they were a little bit on the ropes between their goaltender and the whole team just making plays. And that's what the beauty of the game was, is, you know, again, yeah, we're under pressure, we're under siege, but hey, we're going to do everything we can do to win the hockey game. But yeah, if he made a mistake, he went with those guys too long to the point where they couldn't function.
So, Paul, there's no real downtime here in the NHL offseason. I mean, we saw a trade last night that sent a guy that we're familiar with, of course, Linus Allmark, going from Boston to Ottawa. And we've got the draft this weekend. So with regards to what the Sabres could be looking at doing or any swings that they might be taking here in advance of this weekend. What are your thoughts on what the Sabres need to do, what the Sabres could do, and what ultimately happens when we get to Friday?
Well, I think they still have to come away with a top six forward. And, you know, they have to be harder to play against. That's what they need to do with this team. If this team just keeps rolling back guys who are small and whatever, it's just not going to work for them. And, you know, I think they basically have to revamp most of their bottom six and get guys that are difficult to play against. But, you know, don't shut the door on a guy like Pat Kane. You know, he grew up when Lindy Ruff was the coach here of the Buffalo Sabres, and he rejected the Sabres last year and chose the Detroit Red Wings. I know he talked on to Granato and Adams, and obviously he wasn't happy with what he heard from Granato, and what he heard from the Detroit Red Wings was better. Well, maybe this year, he might say, yeah, I wouldn't mind playing for Lindy Ruff and going to my hometown. So I wouldn't close the door on that being a guy. And he showed us he's fine from injury. He produced when he got back with Detroit. Nobody knew how he was going to be coming back from injury, but he showed that he was fine. So who knows if that could become a possibility.
And Paul, you covered the duration of Lindy 1.0, and now we come to Lindy 2.0 here in Buffalo. And you get a sense, like, in what ways do you think this roster might be different? What kind of player, you know, because I would think that Kevin Adams, with the respect he has for Lindy Ruff, is going to take his input here, certainly.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I think it would be better for all when the buyout window opens, which is just a little over 24 hours from now. He's not Lindy Ruff's type of player. He will drive Lindy Ruff insane. And I just, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Lindy Ruff told Adams that he could coach him, but he seems to me to be the guy that Lindy Ruff would not want to have to coach. Lindy Ruff doesn't want guys on his team that he has to insulate. If you got Skinner on your team, you're going to have to insulate him because, you know, otherwise it's going to be a disaster defensively and the way he turns the puck over and things like that. So you have to have guys with him that can help out when that happens. So he just doesn't seem like a Lindy Ruff type of player. So, you know, I would think they're seriously considering buying out Skinner. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they would do it if that's their choice right away. They could wait to see. I don't think there's a trade market for him. But you've got until 5 o'clock on the 30th if you want to just make sure that something goofy doesn't happen where you might be able to trade him. You don't necessarily have to buy him out immediately. You've got a couple of days to do it. So that'd be interesting, too. If they have the mindset that they want to do it, are they going to wait a little bit just to see if something could develop?
Paul, what about that pick at 11 when we get to Friday night? Are you on the fence as far as which direction they're going to go? Do you think they make that pick, or do they ship it off for an asset?
Well, they'll absolutely ship it off if the deal is right. But, you know, and they have enough currency in assets that if they have to overpay by a player to get the guy, that maybe another team doesn't have those kinds of assets to do it. I mean, I'm not going to overpay and give them four prospects when two is proper. But, you know, if I have to give them one extra, maybe it's worth it, depending on the player who we're talking about. If this is a player that can really help your top six and is a veteran and can win draws and can do a lot of the things that they don't have on their team, I would applaud them if they overpaid a little bit to get that type of a player.
Paul Hamilton, WGR Sabres, is Friday night will be the draft in Vegas. And Paul, last time we had you on, it was the Amerks, certainly. That was an exciting time there. And you followed the Amerks, you know, closely like anybody. which players do you think are ready for that jump? Because I'm looking at a player like Kulik, who has been the leader in terms of goals scored, who has been one of the like, which of these players on the Amerks do you think is ready to make that jump and be part of the Buffalo roster next season?
From what I saw in the playoffs, I would say none. I just didn't see anybody that really looked NHL ready to me yet. And that doesn't mean by Christmas time one of them might not be. I suppose Rusak might be the closest, but when he's been in the NHL, I haven't been impressed at all with what he do. Roseanne might be a little ahead of Kulik just because of how much he improved his two-way game. So that might be a possibility. I wouldn't put Ryan Johnson up there because, you know, I'd have Bryson as your number 7D, and then if somebody gets hurt, you can bring him up. But he too, how much of his decline last year was because he's not used to a pro schedule? It's the first time he went through it. He was used to a 40-game college schedule, and he just maybe hit a wall. Because I saw it in Buffalo, and I saw it again during the playoffs in Rochester. But I still think he's going to be a good defenseman. And, you know, you're the two Russian kids, Komarov is going to wind up down there. And I liked what I saw, and I think both are going to be good prospects for the Sabres. But I don't think either one of them are guys they're going to be looking at this year. So, honestly, it's going to be hard. I mean, you never know what they might do in training camp. You know, what did they do to improve themselves in the off season, and what did they look like in training camp? That you can't know. And one of them may really do it. And, you know, who knows what Savoy might be able to do coming out of junior. You know, does he need time in the AHL, or could he jump up, you know, with the type of talent that he has? So, we'll see what training camp brings, but from what I saw in the playoffs, I really would not expect any of them ready right now.
Paul, next time the invite doesn't get lost in the mail, you and Dan do a great job, and we appreciate all your coverage and everything you're going to be giving us here, feeding us as we get closer to Friday night and the draft at the Sphere. You're going, correct?
Yep. Leaving on Thursday, and I will be there. The last one, the last on-site draft, from what I understand, right? NHL hasn't said for sure, but talking to teams and people, it just seems like, yes, this is going to be the last on-site draft, and they'll do it like the NFL after this.
Okay, so it will be still somewhere where fans can kind of participate, but your decision makers, I get it. Now I understand what that's all about. Paul, are you worried about the Yankees tonight? Now you're facing the team that has been lifted up by Grimace here tonight in the Subway Series. Here we go.
I don't worry about the Yankees until September. Games now, yeah, they all count. I get that, but I don't get too concerned one way or the other when it comes to that. So yeah, Grimace is their best player. So Howard Simon, and his Mets. We'll see how that. I think Howard has a bet with Sal because Sal Capaccio is a Yankee fan. Yeah. So. If one of the two teams sweeps, the other has to take the other out to dinner, I believe.
We got to make that wager a little bit more interesting. That's a safe wager. I'd like to see a little bit more teeth to that wager, Paul. Paul, appreciate the time, buddy. Safe travels, and let's do it again soon.
Take care, guys.
You got it. Thanks, Paul.
Paul Hamilton, WGR. You could read his work at thefanrochester.com, covering the NHL draft, covering the Buffalo Sabres, giving us some of his time.
Yeah, that was one of the storylines when you were out last week that Kevin Adams spoke. And when the question number one, tell us about Jeff Skinner, and Kevin Adams is talking about having the conversation with Skinner's representation. That told me everything you need to know.
You're gone.
Right. He's under contract. He's not requested a trade. There's nothing like that. Why are you talking to his agent?
He's gone.
He's just, you have to wait. I think it's what, 72 hours, 48 hours, whatever the time frame is, end of the season. Before the end of the week, we'll find out that Jeff Skinner is, a former Sabre, and I'm okay with it. He was a fun player for the Sabre team, but he's not good on the defensive side. So it's time to move on, and it's going to open up an opportunity. And who knows? One of these Amherst, one of these kids is bound to pop. I don't know if it's going to be Kalik, Rosane, but somebody should be able to step up and have an opportunity.
There's so much to get to next in happy hour. I mean, a whole week of activity to recap. My week at the Sports Collector Show, you know, Gene's weekend with a life-changing weekend with his son Kyle graduating. And I have a feeling that something I said earlier may have made baseball writer a little bit upset. Maybe just maybe we could share some of what baseball writer has to say.
Well, it's funny. While you were out, Willie Mays passed. And one of our regulars, Chris, called in. He's like, I'd like to hear what baseball writer thinks. I'm like, no. I don't.
No.
No. I don't think we're going to, baseball writer's going to eulogize Willie Mays. No. So.
And we have to also discuss what's right there to your right. A new piece of sports bar memorabilia that I brought back from my travels this weekend. We'll get into that and more next. Happy hour's on the way. You can join us at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.